Welcome back to the whole show. Thanks again to Dalen Kuntz as we put together the Dalen Kuntz Show each and every Wednesday. Looking forward to that big game tomorrow night. This is the Lunch Rush. Big stories, top stories of the day. And they don't get much toppier than this one of this top stories. Buffalo Bills safety DeMar Hamlin, who is, I think, on the minds of everyone, whether you're a sports fan or not. I was getting texts from people that don't even really watch sports asking me if I knew anything. Everybody's just really worried about this guy. But here's the situation so far. According to ESPN, he obviously remains hospitalized in critical condition, but did show signs of improvement that were observed yesterday and then overnight and into the morning. The Bills said Wednesday in a statement that Hamlin is expected to remain under intensive care as his healthcare team continues to monitor and treat him. That is great news, right? No one's thinking about his football career or anything right now, but that's at least great news. Angel, maybe he's getting out of the woods. He's out of the worst part of this. I'm not quite sure. Obviously still in critical care, critical condition, but maybe that's a sign of him getting out of the woods.
Yeah, I saw a report yesterday. He was moved to about 50% breathing on his own, still using a ventilator, which is, it's a process, and I think right now they're just monitoring his lung health, making sure his lungs can fully expand and retract as they need to, and he can get the blood flowing back to that and get his lungs pumping on their own and getting back to breathing on his own, as well as just, anything with his brain or anything like that. Even I don't know if he has a concussion, but it could be a related symptom. Just with that loss of blood like that can be very, very dangerous, but it's good to hear that he's doing better.
Yeah, no question about it, man. Well, I'll tell you what, one of his teammates said, I can't wait until he gets out to see all of this. I mean, can you imagine that?
It's crazy.
Come out and see how the world, especially America, sports, non-sports.
Every NFL stadium had their lights red and blue yesterday.
Everybody's there for this guy because it was such a scary thing, and it was on, it's crazy. How about this, dude? He wanted to raise $2,500 online to buy toys for needy kids. $2,500. That took 2 years to get to that goal.
And that's like a game check for these guys.
Yeah, that took 2 years to get to that goal that he just wanted to raise. After everything Monday, on that GoFundMe page and everything, $5.5 million donated in the first 24 hours after his injury. And that number continues to climb.
That was like 4.4 yesterday.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Just nuts, man.
But speaks to the generosity of people.
It does. And it really gives me goosebumps thinking about, okay, obviously it was terrible. You don't want to see this kind of stuff. But what is great is after you see this kind of stuff, how everybody kind of comes together and does something amazing for a guy that we started learning so much more about, too. In shedding light on all the really good things that he does, like the amazing things that he does. A lot of these players, you always talk about platform. I have a platform to get on and talk politically or whatever. Well, a lot of guys just have a platform so they can just go out and do good things, take care of people, help people out. Turns out that this guy is one of those guys. So very amazing to see that. Every sports show you watch is filled with stories from coaches coming on. I saw Doug Peterson was on Good Morning Football this morning, and he's talking about how, instantly it hit him thinking not only of his players, but his kids collectively. Like, that was this one and the same almost. They're like his family, and just how he would respond and how he would react to everything. So it hit close to home to everybody, everyone who's watching this. So continuing to pray for this guy, but I'm telling you, when he comes out, because I think it's going to happen, it's going to be something else. Because he's going to see it. He's going to see all this great stuff that happened around him. Okay, let's get to this one here. The Bills-Bengals game, of course, we know was postponed or canceled or whatever. Well, now it's not going to happen this week. And I know this is secondary to everything, but we got to talk about it. It is sport. This is a sports show. It is a game.
It's relevant to the sport itself.
It is relevant to the sport itself. So what are they going to do then? Is this game not going to happen? I don't see a world where this happens, Angel. And I know this is secondary. Again, we're all prefacing that. So anybody out there, cool your jets. This is secondary. But are the Chiefs just going to win this thing then? Get the best seed in the AFC?
It's very tricky. Obviously, this is new territory for the NFL. We've heard that again and again this week. I saw in a report or just about an hour ago in a tweet saying that they are expecting a decision within the next couple of days. I can't imagine what kind of decision you make.
Where would you put it?
You know, I see, you know, Twitter threads like, oh, they should do this, they should do that. You know, postpone Week 18 or postpone the Pro Bowl, all of that. And it's so tough because there's TV contracts in this. There are sponsorships that are tied up in this. The Super Bowl is a big deal, and you can't just, oh, no, we'll do it next week. It's fine. And it's a lot because it affects playoff seedings. It affects, you know, coaching staffs, hires, fires, players, contracts, everything gets affected by this for just one game, and obviously it's not the focus, but we have a league to finish. And that sounds awful, but we have another week of football.
That's the thing, right? This is still a business, and you still have to try to figure out how to move forward, pick up the pieces, and still have this situation play out. And again, all acknowledging that this is secondary, but it is still a business. It is still something that affects so many people. And you're trying to figure this out. I just don't. I mean, here's one side of my brain, Angel, is COVID taught us through college and the pros that we can schedule games whenever the hell we want. I mean, there were NFL teams playing Tuesdays and Wednesdays. There were college games that were called the day of or rescheduled for the next day. And so I get where the TV contracts and all that comes in. But then I look at it and go, dude, in 2020, it was like, you could do whatever the hell you want. And that's what it taught us. But now we get right back into it. You see college football, they're scheduling 20 years in advance. They have their schedules made or whatever. And then this one. But on the other side, the other part of my brain is thinking, you can't, like, you don't want to have an asterisk next to the playoffs. And if you just don't. That's a bad word in sports. You think the bubble likes having that put to them? Championship teams having that next to them? They don't want that. That's bad for business because the history of sport is very important. It's very crucial. And so when you mess with a year and you go, well, that was the lockout year or that was the COVID year or that was the bubble year, you don't want that. Teams don't organizations don't want that. So in order to save that, you can't move anything. You need to just not have the game. It's going to screw it. Maybe Buffalo would have beat the Bengals and the Bills would have jumped over the Chiefs. Maybe not. But this is just the way it is. If you try to move this, let's say they just say, let's have Bengals-Bills this weekend. And then let's move the other games, the Week 18 games, to the next weekend that was supposed to be Wild Card weekend. Well, then the Bills and the Bengals aren't. The Bills and the Bengals are playing.
They're playing if they get a week off.
Yeah, it's just really backwards suddenly.
Because then they still have, you know, the Bills have to play the Patriots this weekend. The Bengals have to play, you know, someone in their division.
Yes.
So that's two other games you have to push.
Yeah, and you don't want to push. It's like bowl season too. People talked about, well, what if you just played the Bills Bengals game after Week 18? You play it the next weekend and then push Wild Card weekend. Well, you know, there's a reason some of the bowl games aren't as sharp and crisp as they should be, because these guys are taking a week to 2 to 3 or 4 weeks off in between the regular season and bowl season. Again, you don't want the asterisks there. You don't want it to be like, okay, who's a hot team in the AFC right now? Cincinnati?
Yep.
So what if they lose in the first round? You might go, well, that's because of all this. And then they moved the playoffs back, and so they lost all that momentum. Jacksonville has kind of been hot. Green Bay, smoking hot, sizzling. And let's say they lose in the first round. It's like, well, they lost all that momentum. They were every single week, win, 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 and then they move it on. So the easiest way to do this, the way to avoid any kind of an asterisk, is to just simply say, these are the standings. Cincinnati was up. You don't give them the win. You just call it a no contest, which would give, even if the Bills win this weekend, would the Chiefs still need to win? Because the Bills would be, let's just say they win, they'd be 13-3. Let's say the Chiefs lose, they'd be 13-4. They'd have more losses.
The Chiefs would have, because the Bills beat the Chiefs head-to-head, right?
So the Chiefs, if the Chiefs win, it's done.
Yep.
There's nothing the Bills can do. Because the Chiefs would have more games, even though the losses would be tied, the Chiefs would have more wins.
you would be fighting for the two seed, which would be home wild card game and then a home divisional game.
Yeah. So, because again, the Chiefs could go 14-3, and if they didn't have the Bills-Bengals game, the Bills could go 13-3. But because the Chiefs have one more win, that's the way it is. You know, I don't dare think you let the teams decide. Like, you don't call the Chiefs and be like, hey, the Bills didn't have their game. They won. They beat the Patriots. If they would have beat the Bengals, because you can't play that game. You can't do it. So the best bet is to just say, these are the standings, the way it falls after this weekend, and that's the way it goes. Will there be an asterisk on the Super Bowl champ if they do that this year? If they just don't have the game?
If it's one of those two teams, or just any team?
Just any team. Like, let's say, if it's not the Bills or the Bengals.
This will affect the AFC more than the NFC, obviously, just in terms of seedings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's tough.
I don't think there will be. I really don't. Because,
like,
unless
you're playing this game on Wednesday of next week, even then,
you're going to go.
Because
the NFL
has rules in place that you can't play after a certain amount of days.
And then it's going to be like, well, yeah, the Bills lost in the first round, but that's because they played two games in 7 days.
Which is unrealistic. If you play like on a Sunday and then you play that next Thursday, you have 10 days off.
Yeah.
And I love your point about taking weeks off and then coming back. When your team has a bye and they come back the next week, they're not great
right at the start. Just depends. It just depends on the situation. Like Green Bay, it'd be a terrible time for them to have a bye. Terrible. Eastside Chris says, Brady, should they just call it a draw or a tie? If you call it a tie,
that guarantees KC with the one seed.
Then it doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't do anything.
The out on just, hey, you don't, week 18 doesn't matter for you, you have the one seed.
Yeah, the tie doesn't do anything in this case. You can, you might as well. I mean, since he was up 7-3, and they just got the ball back after the Bills went and scored a field goal. So, I mean, dude, there's no way you can really look at that game and say, yeah, the Bengals would have won. It was 7-3, the Bills just scored. So, there's just no way. Yeah, the Bengals were up, but we are students of football, and we see 7-3, that means nothing. In the first quarter of a game. Stickman, Brady, how do you handle fantasy football? Most leagues had last week be the championship week. How would you handle that? I mean, again, and I think these are all worthwhile questions now because these are real questions. We're all human here. We're asking the questions. How do these things pan out? I guess if you have people on the Bills and the Bengals, it's one of those things where it's like, it's tough. It's just tough.
There's no precedent for this.
No. So if you have players on the Bills and the Bengals from last week, I mean, I know the betting world. If you bet on that Bengals-Bills game, they gave you your money back. So how does that count? Like, if you're playing fantasy football last week and you had Josh Allen and you're like 12 points down, do you just lose? I guess that's up to your individual fantasy league. I would say it's up to your individual fantasy league. Like, if you go to your core group and they're like, championship game was last week, Billy played, he had Josh Allen and Singletary, and they obviously didn't finish that game. If you can all collectively vote on, yeah, the odds are that you would have scored 12 points to win the game.
Just rock, paper, scissors.
I guess.
Flip a coin.
I mean, we always do a weird thing here when because next year we're going to recharge our fantasy league, I think. I don't know. We'll think about it. We'll talk about it. But it would be like we had two different leagues, and so we would just give whoever had the most points. You're going to have to get creative on your own, fantasy footballers. Like, that's up to you guys. And that's where I was like, do you dare take a vote in the AFC? Do you go to the AFC teams and take a vote? A, it's a tie. B, we replay it, which, eesh. C, we all are good with Kansas City, assuming they win, just getting the first seed. Or am I on D now? I don't know. I mean, what are the other options? Flip a coin? Seriously, flip a coin between the Chiefs and the Bills if they tie?
That worked out great last time.
If the Bills beat the Patriots, or is it the Bills and the Patriots?
Yes.
And then who do the Chiefs have?
The Chargers. The Raiders.
Raiders. If the Chiefs win and the Bills win, they'll both have, the Chiefs will have 14 wins. The Bills will have 13 wins. you could argue that the Bills could have gotten 14 wins and then the tiebreaker would go to the Bills, or they would have lost to the Bengals and it doesn't matter. The Chiefs would have held on, but the Bengals would have jumped in front of the Bills. So do you just...
Well, because it's not just the one seeded.
No, it's the Bengals spot too. Well. Yeah, it's the 2 and 3. If the Bengals would have beat the Bills, which they were up 7-3 halfway through the first quarter, they would have been, they'd be 12-4 today, and the Bills would be 12-4. And the Bengals would have the tiebreaker because of head to head competition. Now the Bills play, or the the Bengals play. They have the Ravens. Which, is Lamar coming back?
I don't think so.
And if he was, then you go, it's a rivalry game, Lamar coming back. There's no real way to handle this. But I'm more of the thinking where it's like, okay, you let the week happen, and however it unfolds.
Well, they said in the coming days, it's already Wednesday. We have a game on Saturday night.
There's no game. There's no way we can have a game. Certainly not this week. You're not going to have it next week.
So, are they just going through every option they have and just thinking what they can do, and then ultimately just say, "Yeah, we just can't do it." But even saying that is a whole other issue of seeding. And
they probably want to see how it lays out.
See how Week 18 plays out.
Yeah, because if the Bills lose to the Patriots, that'd give them their fourth loss. And if the Chiefs win, it wouldn't matter, I guess. I don't know. And again, we all know. We're all like adults in this room here. We all know that the most important thing is DeMar Hamlin. Nobody's pretending it's not. That is absolutely what we're praying about and we're thinking about. But the fact is, decisions have to be made.
The world keeps spinning.
The world does keep spinning. You do have to make decisions. From the 970, televised best out of 7 coin flip. What if they just do like a race? My quarterback versus your quarterback in a race.
Joe Burrow and Josh Allen in a race?
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
Who's winning that race? Allen probably picks up speed as he goes. Burrow's probably out the gates faster.
I think Allen has the acceleration on him. I think Joe might start out quicker. Josh will be a little slower, but he'll pick up the speed quickly.
Can Allen get somebody to hit him? It seems like he picks up speed when he gets hit. Boom!
Well, he gets hit and does a flip.
Yeah.
And then he gets like a speed boost in Mario Kart.
It gives him energy, yeah. These are crazy times. And I'm telling you what, DeMar Hamlin and your family, this is so obviously not cool for you what happened, but this is so cool because I will say this, for better or worse with Roger Goodell and everybody's trying to figure this out. Because I believe they're all doing it out of respect for him. I choose to believe that. That everybody, we called games, we made these decisions, we're delaying it this week, we're just kind of waiting and seeing what happens because of, you're wanting to do what's best for him and his family. And when he comes out of this, because again, I'm just going to stay on that positive train, he's going to look around and go, holy cow, are you serious? Like, that's must-see television. All these arguments be damned and people tweeting negative things be damned. You know what must-see television is going to be? Is that guy coming out talking about it for the first time. And I hope he can. I really hope he can. Stickman, it would still matter for the number 2 and 3 seed if the Chiefs win. Yeah. In Week 18, the Bills lose. Yeah. Oh, no, it's... But you again, it might just have to be one of those things where it's like, it's tough. You let the week play out, and that's where it stands. Unfortunately. Because you can't do a game. You can't play a game. There's no time. Unless you decided you wanted to move the playoffs out a week. And then that might mess everything up. And then the NFC would have to do the same thing. 25 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, will join me in a moment. What's going on with Colorado? We'll talk about that. A lot to get to. Benjamin Albright from Broncos Country tonight. We'll talk to him about what he thinks the NFL is going to do in this case. Also, the Broncos head coaching search and where he's feeling or what he's feeling on that side of it as well. We'll take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, a big-time show coming up for you. Former WWE star Brian Kendrick will be taking on Sam Knight in the main event for Battleground Pro Wrestling's Winter Warfare at the Greeley Rec Center this Saturday, January 7th. Doors open at 5:30. Special Lucha Libre tag team match is the semi-main event. Seating is limited, so you can get pre-sale tickets at BattlegroundProWrestling.com. Again, BattlegroundProWrestling.com. And a little birdie tells me we're going to get Sam Knight on the program on Friday. So I'm very excited about that. We had Gino Told You So Rivera on. Dude, yeah, these are fun. I love these. These are fantastic. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. My whole show poll question of the day. Are you hitting the panic button on the season for CSU men's basketball? Yes, no, no, but the hand is hovering over the button. What do you guys think? Go vote at thewholeshow.com, and we'll see what the results are. I will talk about CSU Nevada tonight. That's a big one. That game is certainly on my radar. 46% of the hooligans are saying, yes, hammer the panic button down. We are freaking out. We don't even know which way is up or down anymore. We're all just terrified. 31 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Cepha Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. And Mark, I know you saw my post. I got my kid ready. He's ready for the ranch, my friend. He got on a horse yesterday.
Well, it's about time you did that. I was starting to wonder as your father, but now that you've done that, that's good parenting right there, as I posted on your post yesterday.
Yeah, and I was gonna message you. I figured I'd just talk to you about it today on the show, but I mean, I got a worker for you, man. He's ready. Next cattle drive,
like
I'll send him on up, and I'll probably just ride a horse over to your house. I'm sure
he
can get there.
I mean, only about 58, 59 miles. You know, I think at his age, I think that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
You know, we always said that whole kid, he's quite a hand.
Well, after his 15-minute ride yesterday, I think he's ready for that journey. I think we're almost there. We're getting there at least.
Did you put him on a pretty rank one, too? Was it a pretty rank horse?
Yeah, wild. Absolutely all over the place, man. I mean, you should have seen it. It was crazy. I don't know how he stayed on, but he did.
He's got a natural secret.
We're going every week, though. He's going next week, too. So we're going to keep it rolling. He's better than his dad because I rode horses for a while, and then I got to 16, and I was like, four-wheelers don't buck me off as much as they do. So I went and purchased a four-wheeler, and my dad, it was like the saddest thing in his life. My grandpa especially, they're like, you're going to get a what? What are you doing to me? But they were the better horsemen, Mark. They certainly were.
Well, since you skipped on it, don't let your boy do that.
Yes. The pressure is on him. The pressure is certainly on him now. Mark, my friend. All right, these Buffaloes. I know how good they can be. I mean, we've seen it, Mark. They can win some big-time games. A beautiful win against Stanford not too long ago. And then they lose to Cal. So this Buffs team, I'm just – and I know Tad Boyle, you know, he's trying to figure this group out. We know at their best, I think CU could beat pretty much anybody. But at their worst, you can just see some really head-scratching moments.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, they go from being world beaters to egg beaters, don't they? I mean, it's something. And, you know, here's the funny thing about that Cal game. And keep in mind, Thursday night, we're in Palo Alto against what I think is a very good Stanford team. And the Buffs trailed for much of the game. It was a very close game. Came back and won that late, 73-70. And you're thinking, all right, now you got a 1-13 Cal team. They should go in there and take care of business. That's not been, for whatever reasons, I don't understand it. You know, since the Buffs have joined the Pac-12, it's not like Cal's been a great program. Stanford's been significantly better. Colorado's like, I think it's 8-2 or something in Palo Alto, and now all time is like 2-16 or something in Berkeley. I can't figure it out. But anyway, tough place. But I thought, yeah, they're going to have a good chance. We're about two possessions deep into that game, And I look at, and my partner Scott Wilkie, and I kind of shake my head. We go to a break, and I said, we're not winning this thing tonight. You can feel it. You can feel it early on. And Cad was throwing everything but the kitchen sink out there. He's calling timeouts. He's going deep into his bench. He's putting out different lineups. He's changing defenses, trying to get through to him. But, yeah, it was exceptionally disappointing. The word that Coach Boyle used in the postgame, pathetic, was the word that he had used.
Mark, it always fascinates me. You just mentioned it with their struggles with Cal. I mean, that's crazy to me because, you know, you turn over different rosters every single year, but it's like this weird sports cloud hangs over you. No matter who it is, it's just a mental hump. And maybe you hear about it. Maybe you see it on Twitter. Maybe you see those numbers. And it's just something mental that you have to try to bust through with those teams that just have your number for some reason.
It's bizarre. Well, look what the Broncos are going through right now with the Kansas City Chiefs. What is it, 14 games now? They've lost consecutively to the Chiefs. And you know, it's there's bizarre things like that in sports. Now that doesn't excuse what they did or did not do on Sunday, because they should have won that game. Right, they partnered on Saturday. They should have won that game. They're the better team. Cal's not a very good basketball team, all right? They've got some interesting parts to them, but they're not a very good basketball team. But that was an inexcusable loss for Colorado. I'm not going to sit here and make excuse for them. They came out, didn't play well. They mentally weren't dialed in for whatever reason. Didn't play very gutsy in that ball game as they did Thursday night against Stanford. So, yeah, that one there, you know, and that's one of those things. I know Tad's done this in the past. I don't know if he did it this time. In those kind of games, I know Tad's walked in and looked at his leaders, and I think that would probably be K.J. Simpson and Tristan Da Silva, and very quietly with the two of them said, that falls on you. You know, guys like Evan Batty, McKinley Wright, you know, Derek White over the years, Spencer Dinwiddie, those kind of guys, Josh Scott's another one. Those kind of guys are the guys that kind of set the temperature for the team. They're the ones that regulate the team, if you will. And leaders have got to lead in those circumstances. And I'm sure he had a conversation with those guys about it.
Well, and that'll be interesting. And again, we know, you know, as far as skill set wise, those two guys are just studs. I mean, Tristan Da Silva, KJ Simpson. How do they respond tomorrow? A very interesting game with Oregon. I mean, I don't. You tell me right now, Mark. I haven't looked at a lot of Oregon. I mean, I know they're always typically pretty darn good. 8-6. 2-1 of the conference, but either way, it's a Pac-12 game. This is going to be a test for the Buffs.
Oh, without question. And I think Oregon's a little bit like Colorado. Very talented team, but it's been very up and down and not played very consistent at times. And so, you know, to borrow a tadism, you know, you got a couple of hungry dogs coming in here. And I think that'll be an interesting game. That's been a series where, interestingly enough, Colorado has had the upper hand, despite the fact you've had an Oregon program that's had a Final Four appearance and some Sweet 16s over the last number of years. But Colorado seems to have an upper hand with them. So let's hope that continues. But I think this is a real interesting game. This is one, you know, kind of one of those separation games, because where I think Oregon is, where Colorado is, you can't let this, you know, waning, if you will, go on too long here. You've got to start winning some ball games very quickly, and I think this is a great opportunity for Colorado.
Mark, where are you with this team? I mean, again, we know how good they can be. We know how bad they can be. Sitting at, what, 9-6 right now overall, 1-3 in the conference. I mean, I think this is going to be a really good team. I think they're going to turn it on and stay that way. Once the light really goes on, it might not come off, and they just run through this thing. Will they get an at-large bid? Let's just ask that first. What do you think, looking at it right now?
I'll tell you this, that Cal loss hurt them bad. That was a quad sport game. Their net number for Cal was like 347 or something like that. Well, way down near the bottom anyway. That was a quad four game for Colorado. That's a bad, bad loss. You can look at some of the losses they've had this year on the road, neutral court. They go, well, you wish you would have won that, but it doesn't kill them. This one hurts them badly. And so you've got a lot to overcome now. Now you got to get some marquee wins out there to balance this one out. Can they certainly get an at-large? Certainly they can. But you've got a lot of work to do right now. And you know, is the team talented enough to do it? Certainly it is, if they can be consistent, which it has not been up to this point. So, you know, this team's got to start to figure out. At some point, a team takes ownership of itself. And this team has got to take ownership of itself and start figuring itself out here very quickly.
Yeah, you got to take care of Oregon State. And then, as you said, you got to grab some marquee victories. USC, pretty good team, and then UCLA down the stretch there in the middle of January. So those are going to be big opportunities to start to make up for that Cal loss.
Yeah, without question. Yeah, that, you know, next week, there's your first opportunity with UCLA. There's a top 10 team, top 5 team. You've got a chance there if you're able to sneak into Westwood and get a win, which the Bucks have done a couple of times here in recent years. Go in there and get a win against a very good team. And with Jaime Jaquez, maybe the player of the year in the Pac-12. And so that's a great opportunity. We don't have a game time of that one because the NFL playoff schedule is going to be a Fox game. Well, it'll be a 1 in the afternoon or 6 at night for that one at Westwood. But that would be their first opportunity to get that kind of win. So, you know, the opportunities are going to be out there.
Yeah, no question about it. I'm excited for this one tomorrow night. Mark, what time do you guys get rocking and rolling? Like I said, the old rule, it's on ESPN2, but go ahead and mute that bad boy. Tune up, tune into Mark Johnson on the call. Yeah.
Watch the moving pictures, and we'll take care of the commentary if you send us out. But, yeah, see, it's a 7 o'clock tip-off tomorrow night, a 6:30 pregame.
I'm looking forward to that. But before I let you go, Mark, the dust is kind of settled for a little bit. You know, it was Coach Prime nonstop, and it's still pretty crazy, and especially for folks in Boulder. But us on the outside kind of looking at it, maybe slow down just a little bit. But as the dust has settled on this whole thing, when you look at the court, you know, the Pac-12 and the potential challenges that it poses next year, you know, what's the vibe around this Buffs team? I mean, are you starting to look at this roster and go, man, he's getting some gets here. There's going to be some big time players. If he can put them together, they can make some noise next year.
Well, he's getting some talent. There's no doubt about that. Here's the interesting aspect about it. If you kind of just, you know, lick your finger and stick it in the wind, the currents right now with Buff Nation are just off the charts, right? And you know, that's how Deion kind of plays. I mean, Coach Prime kind of plays that way, talking about we coming and, you know, we're doing this, we're changing the game, and on and on and on. And he is bringing in some talent. Make no mistake about that. What he is doing from a transfer recruiting standpoint is extremely, extremely impressive. And so I think that's awful fun to watch. So the expectations from a fan perspective are off the charts right now. I mean, when you see Fox Sports coming out and saying that Shedeur Sanders might be the Heisman favorite next year. I mean, you're like, whoa, holy cow, that kind of came out of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
So you're seeing that kind of stuff. Now, here's the other side of the coin. I saw where FanDuel, one of the sports betting networks out there, put out their over and under for the Colorado Buffaloes next season. Did you see it?
I didn't see it, Mark. What is it?
4.5.
Really?
So
wow.
So you think about that for a second. I'm excited about everything going on. The expectations are ridiculous. And those guys who, you know, build billion-dollar casinos have said, yeah, we think 4.5 would be over-under. Now, that's awful interesting to me. Now, do I think it's 4.5? If it were me, I'm taking the over, right?
Yeah.
But it is interesting. As a buddy of mine always says, you know, you don't build billion-dollar casinos by losing money, right? And so that when that came out last, I guess it was Thursday when I saw it, I mean, my draw button fell. I'm like, holy cow. I'm not saying that they should have hit that, you know, 9.5 or 10. But, you know, I was thinking up in the 6-7 range somewhere there. And so, you know, to me, it's going to be fascinating to watch this whole experience and how this thing unfolds in 2023, because we know what the expectations are. And then those wise guys in Vegas who know a little bit about, you know, athletics and how things go are saying, hey, hold the phone here. We think it's going to be 4.5. So, I thought that was kind of interesting last week.
Yeah, my producer over there grabbed his phone as soon as you said that. He's like, time to place a wager here. So I would have said 6.5, too. I would have probably said, if you would have asked me and said, what do you think, I would go 6.5. I mean, that might even be lower than maybe a lot of people's, even my own expectations.
Yeah. No, it's a fascinating deal. And so there's a lot of hype. And, you know, you got the Coach Prime you know, documentary thing going on, series going on right now, and everyone's going nuts about that. That's one of the biggest documentaries in the country right now, and all the other stuff going on. And every day you see new recruits, and new commitments, and new transfers, and all kinds of stuff happening. And so there's a lot of buzz. There's no doubt about that, and I'm really excited about it. I just thought that was an interesting little tip that came out late last week.
Yeah, that certainly. Mark, I was unplugged last week, and I was off and who knows where in my brain. But
sure.
I'm glad to get the updates, of course, today. 4.5, though. That's absolutely nuts.
Yep.
Well, I'm going to take a look at that. We'll maybe put a dollar on that. See what happens. I gotta make something here. Save up for the saddles, Mark. Now that my child is a horseman, as they say.
Like now that you got that boy right, it's like my daughter said when one of my granddaughters has gone just horse crazy. The older of the two, and my little girl says to me, she goes, "You know, Daddy, you're getting her involved in an expensive habit here." And I said, "That's not my." concern. She's your child, so you take care of that.
My wife used to. Jump horses? What do you call that, Mark? When you're jumping them, you jump them and do stuff. She did all that stuff and loved it. And so my father-in-law has just been clamoring, like, "Hey, when are you going to get start thinking about riding horses again and doing all this stuff?" And of course, I'm the one who's always like, "Well, when we can put it somewhere, we got to figure out a place to put the horsey."
Sure.
But I do know you now, Mark. So I, you know what? If you got some space, let me know.
There you go. Well, you know the great old line. You know how to become a millionaire? You earn $10 million and buy horses. That'll do.
I love it, my man. Mark, we'll be looking forward to that call. Big one tonight for Colorado.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right, man. Mark Johnson. He probably doesn't like it when I call it horsey. Guys like Mark don't. And I'm not even a city kid, Angel. I am a converted city kid. Definitely. No question. City person. I'm not a kid anymore, unfortunately. Transplant. I'm one of those guys, like everybody's posting on my Facebook, because I said my kid rode a horse, and they're all like, "He's a hole. Of course he rode horse." My grandpa was a great horseman, great cowboy. My dad was a cowboy. Pretty great. He would do the cattle pinnings and all that stuff. And I was like, "When are we going to Denver to watch the Nuggets, bro? I mean, when are we going to go to Denver and stay for the weekend or whatever?" That was always me. So all these people are posting on my Facebook that haven't talked to me in years are like, "Well, of course he's a ranch kid." I'm like, that hasn't been me since like 16. And I was kicking and screaming every time. 49 minutes after the hour, we'll take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to the Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
B-Rad texting in. Happy New Year, B-Rad. I think the classy thing, we're talking about the Bills-Bengals game. I think the classy thing would be the coaches agree to let the Bengals kick a field goal and let the Bills return the ensuing kickoff to tie the game and kneel the rest of the way till the clock runs out and give the fans the show up free beer and hot dogs. That's the classy thing.
The classiest.
Only the classiest.
I don't know if that's fancy enough.
It's not fancy enough. No. But is it classy? Is it classy?
Could be classy.
Well, are you agreeing with me? We just call it what it is. We're not going to have this game.
I think that's the simplest and easiest solution is you just, given the circumstances, you just say, "Hey, this is a game that, and the records show, it wasn't played." So you move on.
Does that put an asterisk on the season, on the playoffs?
On the playoffs, yes. I think if either one of those two teams goes on and wins it, it's going to be a huge asterisk.
Oh, really?
Yes.
If the Bills or the Bengals win, you would say it was an advantage to them?
Maybe not an advantage, but there's certainly more context to it. You would have to consider, the playoff run for them hypothetically was awesome, but they had an extra week to get ready. Or they didn't play week 17.
I mean, because they only played a half a quarter. You know, collectively, obviously we know what happened with DeMar Hamlin, but collectively as a team, probably didn't get too banged up.
It was
right,
basically a preseason game.
I mean, you played a half a quarter of a game. You had what? A Bills possession score, or a Bengals possession score. The Bills possession went down, kicked field goal. Is that right?
Yep.
And then you had the kickoff, and then halfway through. So, it's tough. It's a weird spot. We've never seen it. Just like the COVID stuff, kind of, in a way. We've never quite seen these things. But the NFL definitely doesn't want that little pesky little asterisk mark. They don't want it anywhere near their games or on any kind of playoff game or anything like that. They don't want to cancel games, I'll tell you that. It was obvious to 99% of the world that this game should be called pretty much as soon as we started seeing CPR being done. It was like, they can't play this game. Then you saw the players walk away crying, seeing their brother, their teammate there. You can't have this game.
When Zach Taylor came out today, he had a press conference, and he said, when he was talking to Coach McDermott, he said, I can't coach right now. I shouldn't be coaching this game. I need to be at the hospital. And I think that conversation, among others, was happening at that, like, within those couple of minutes after that happened.
It does show you, too. I mean, these guys care about each other. I mean, maybe not everybody does, but you're seeing right now they certainly care about that young man.
I saw an interesting video that kind of changed my perspective yesterday on TikTok. It was this guy just sitting in his car, and he had tears in his eye. He was a Bills fan. He's saying, I never could understand when, like, a celebrity dies and someone gets so emotionally upset about it, but now I do. Because they're sports athletes and they're superstars and all that. We look up to them in a lot of ways, but they're still people.
Yeah, and you know, they're always that negative few that says, wow, people get hurt and do this every day. Why aren't we donating to funds that Billy Bob's put on? It's because not everybody knows Billy Bob. We all are conjoined by these celebrities, by the players. We know them. That's why when the big-time celebrities pass away, we all talk about them. And then, you know, people are like, well, why don't people make a fuss over regular Joe? He worked hard every day and he was a fireman. Well, not everybody knows him. Do something famous so we'll all know him. And that's just the nature of the beast. So, yeah, you see a country right now all praying and thinking about this guy, DeMar Hamlin, because we all watch football. And it was Monday Night Football. And we all see a guy. That's why. And then we get to learn about how cool of a guy he is. Because I didn't know a whole lot about him until now. But that's why. Yeah, I mean, some people don't understand that. It's like, because we all know him. That's why. All right, 1 o'clock hour coming up. CSU Nevada, big one tonight. Can Isaiah Stevens grab another player of the week away from Nikola Jokic? Can somebody step up and steal one here? Also, Benjamin Albright of Broncos Country tonight. Looking forward to chatting with him coming up a little bit later. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.